think I was thinking winner, winner, chicken dinner, because we were singing a song about victory. And so I kept thinking, you know, I'm hearing God saying over us, you're winners. You are winners. And so, of course, if I heard you are winners, then if you've ever had children, you know that goes to winner, winner, chicken dinner. Right? And because we were doing Soul and Home Days, so a lot of kids were winning yesterday. Thank you to all of you who have come out to help with that. And we'll talk about it more next week. But thank you to Natalie for leading this up. You're amazing. Whole lot of behind the scenes work that this woman has done. And just with a beautiful heart, like with a really beautiful heart. Attention to detail, but more than that, attention to detail with a purpose, because she has a heart to pour out love on people in the community, unlike most I've ever seen. So I'm just so thankful you take that heart and you use it in that way. So thank you for that. I know you're exhausted. I don't know how you're not. I was there from 2:30 till 6:30-ish, 7 last night. And I was wiped. Of course, I taught 6 classes in the morning too, but still, I was wiped, went home and soaked my feet in a lavender bath, lavender salt bath. If you haven't done that, you just haven't lived. You need to do a lavender salt bath on your feet. It's amazing. But she just went from early morning and late nights all week getting ready. So thank you for that, Natalie. I know you've had a lot of help, but I'm thankful to you for organizing it. So don't forget, in your program this week, we have the captains. So basically this year we decided to do our church picnic at the Lake County Captains game. It's going to be so much fun. So you need to sign up, though, so we know we have the right number of tickets. And you need to put your money in the envelope. So basically you're covering the cost of your seat and the fireworks and all that's going to be part of the game. And the church is covering the cost of the picnic for you, which is kind of fun. And so it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. But I got to tell you, it's open from 5:30 to 7. When the game starts, the buffet shuts down. So if you think you're going to get there at 6:50 and have an all-you-can-eat buffet, it's not going to work unless you can eat really fast, like my kids used to eat. So really, you need to get there about 5:30, a little soon after that at least, so that you can enjoy the all-you-can-eat buffet of hamburgers and dogs and all the stuff you see on here. So put your money in the envelope, put your name and how many tickets you need on the front, drop it in the box on your way out, or give it to Stephanie or Linda, and we'll be good to go. That's in 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks from today. It's going to be a fun, fun night. Hope you can come. So you can bring friends. Thank you. So today we're having a message. We're continuing our series called Represent. Represent. And because it's Family Worship Sunday, guess what Sandy has? Props. Must have props on Family Worship Sunday so that everybody can get engaged in what I'm talking about today. I'm going to fly through the intro and the first point because I really feel like there's something in the props for people today. It's crazy. But even during worship today, I'm like, wow, these props are going to really speak to someone today. I can feel it in my spirit. And so we're just going to go with it. So today we're going to round it out with represent. If we're going to represent Jesus and his kingdom, where do we represent and why do we represent? Where and why? Now, if I was going to mom this on you, this would be a short sermon. Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. Why? What am I going to answer? Because I said so. Right? So we could just go home now if we needed to, but I'm not going to do that. Where? Everywhere. Why? Because I said so. I used to not like that. But you know what? When I was a kid, I didn't like it. When I was a mom, I understood why my mom said it. Because yes, there are times when I explain to my kids the why of what I was asking them to do or not to do. And there were times when I wanted them to learn to trust what I was saying just because it was coming from me. Because now I have no problem trusting God when he says, do this because I said so. I'm not going to tell you why. Just do it. And I trust him to know what's best for me. So that's a healthy thing. That's a side note. But We do see that Jesus spent a lot of moments alone with his Father. And I didn't want to skirt over that. I wanted to point it out because there's no way we're going to represent him everywhere because he said so without spending some time alone with God. And we see in several verses that when everyone was pulling at him in Mark 1, we see that everyone was wanting Jesus' attention. And what did he do? He pulled away and departed and went to be alone. We see it in Matthew 14 when he was grieving the loss of his cousin and one of his best friends. He didn't cry, sit in his coffee and cry. He went alone to be with his Father. I think he cried on that day. I don't think he was like, oh, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. I think he cried the loss of his cousin. I know he knew what was going to happen. He wasn't taken off guard by it, but he still hurt. If he was fully man and fully God, he hurt. Okay? We see again in Matthew 14, 23, that when he was right after he celebrated the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, what did he do? Go set up a church building, a fancy church building, and say, come? No, he went away to be alone with his Father. I think he knew and showed us by example that right after a big victory, you're very susceptible to trouble. Either pride or just exhaustion or whatever. So how did he handle that? He went away to be with his Father. So where did he show us to represent the kingdom? I love that Jesus did not abandon the temples and the synagogues in his ministry. I really love that because there's this whole movement right now of people who are like, I'm done with church, rah, 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 you know? He didn't do that. He didn't do that till they kicked him out. Literally. Like, he didn't abandon ministry to the church. We see in Mark 1, 21 and 22 that Jesus and his disciples, from the Passion Translation, went to Capernaum and immediately started teaching on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. The people were awestruck and overwhelmed by his teaching because he taught in a way that demonstrated God's authority, like we were just singing about, which was quite unlike the teachers of religious law. I love that he represented in churches. We still need people representing in church. Because every time a guest walks through our door, if we can represent the kingdom well, they're going to feel the love and power and goodness of God. If we're not here to represent, how's that going to happen? But also, he represented in homes. I love that. In Mark 1, 29 through 33, it says, now as soon as they left the meeting, they went straight to Simon and Andrew's house, along with Jacob and John. Simon's mother-in-law was bedridden, sick with a high fever, so the first thing they did was to tell Jesus about her. What a great thing to do. No, doctor, I need you. No, how about Jesus, I need you first. I'm guilty. If I have a headache, I'll take the Motrin first and then pray. And then I'm like, well, something's backwards here. Why don't I just ask Jesus first? I'm not against medicine. I think God gave us intelligence to create it. So I'm thankful for that. But keep things in order, right? So he walked up to her bedside, gently took her hand and raised her up. Her fever disappeared and she began to serve them. Later in the day, just after the Sabbath ended at sunset, the people kept bringing to Jesus all who were sick and tormented by demons until the whole village was crowded around the house. Can you imagine, like, get a picture of what that might look like in your neighborhood? That people hear that God's presence is at your house to such a degree that your house is packed and running over and neighbors are coming all over to hear what God has for them. Wow. Oh, let it be, Lord. Jesus also represented in the streets. He went to the streets. How could he be accused of hanging out with gluttons and drunkards if he didn't spend some time in the streets. Mark 2, 13 through 14 in the Passion Translation says, Jesus went out to walk near Lake Galilee. I've been there. Woo, it's so beautiful. Sometimes I look at my pictures of Lake Galilee and I'm like, oh, the peace that was in that place was unbelievable to me. Jesus went out to walk near Lake Galilee, and a massive crowd gathered, so he taught them. Does anybody find that humorous? He went out to take a walk. When I take a walk, I just want some peace and quiet, right? Just let me walk. I don't even like to talk a whole lot, even if I'm with somebody. I mean, I will, but I really enjoy the process of walking in quiet. I enjoy that. It's nice to me. Jesus tried to take a walk by the peaceful Sea of Galilee, and a massive crowd gathered. Okay, I'll teach you. That's what I hear in my head. As he walked along, he found Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth collecting taxes. He approached him and said, "Come follow me." Immediately, he got up from his booth and began to follow Jesus. I've unpacked that a couple times, so I'm not going to unpack it today. Look up online. You'll find it on one of the sermons. But I love that he spent time in the streets, too. He spent time in churches. He spent time in homes. He spent time in the streets. And in every place, Hebrews tells us he was the exact representation of his Father. He showed us what God looks like. Wow, let that sink in. That's our goal as we do home days. Our goal is to show people what God looks like. Yesterday, after I taught my 6 classes, I was doing feedback, and sometimes I turn on the TV while I'm doing feedback, and just for noise, I don't know. It may just be me, but sometimes I like background noise. And the movie, I didn't change the channel, the movie that happened to be on was BFG. Anybody ever seen the BFG? Cute movie. It's a kid's movie. And I was like, oh, that's good. I'm working on the computer and listening to BFG. And it was just the last few minutes of it. And BFG, for those of you who don't know, stands for Big Friendly Giant. Because most people in the community, the neighborhood that it takes place in, they don't believe in giants. But the ones who do believe in giants think they're mean. They're going to hurt you. They're going to harm you, right? And I'm listening to this movie and working. You know how you do that, double task or triple task. And I was like, huh. At home days, our goal is BFG, Big Friendly God. Because most people don't believe in him. But the ones who do believe him think he's mean and he's out to hurt us. And he's big and he's mean. He's in love with us. He's in love with us. He is in love with you. BFG, don't ever let it think of anything else besides Big Friendly God. So, a few weeks ago, I Netflixed it. I needed some time off, so I did a little binge watching on Netflix. And I'm attracted to all things Asian right now. Because my second job that I teach little Asian students that I enjoy so much. So there was a special on Netflix called Wild China. I'm like, oh yeah, turn that on. And they started talking about the process of harvesting and processing tea. And I felt a pull into it. I felt like there was something deeper in it. So I need one person to come up and hold this and put these gloves on. Okay, Isaac, you're chosen. These gloves and hold the basket. You can put the gloves on first. Perfect. I need another person to hold this fan. How about a girl since it? Well, I shouldn't say that, but how about a girl? Kai, do you want to hold? You want to do something else? Okay. Okay, very good, Faye. Come on up. So you just stand here and hold the fan. Hopefully the battery won't die. You can stand right there. That's perfect. I need another person to hold this that probably no one under 20 is going to know what this is called, but I'll tell you. Okay, Adamo. This is you. Christian didn't know, did he? Does he know what that is? I told you. Okay. I need another person to hold this, but we won't light it. We'll just imagine it lit. Okay, heaven. Stay in order. Yeah, stay in order. Okay, it's important. Okay, another person to hold the box, the empty box. Okay, Milesy. Whoops, I missed a step. We'll insert somebody. That's all right. Can you just hold this box? Perfect. I need someone to put on the boxing gloves. Christian, come on up. Okay, so let's see. I think the boxing gloves go here. So scooch down just a bit. Perfect. Okay. Whoo. I need another person to hold the tea kettle. Is that Kai? Have you been waiting for this one? Okay, and Andy, you want to hold the teacup? Come on. Don't hit yourself, Miles. Don't hurt yourself. Okay, so these are all the steps involved in harvesting oolong tea in China. First of all, it has to be picked. It has to be chosen, right? Where is our image, Kim? There it is. That's what it looks like. Oolong trees before they're harvested. So it's all harvested. Interestingly, if you buy tea from China, the overwhelming majority of every one of these steps is done by hand still. I will never drink another cup of tea the same after learning this. The second step is it has to be dried. Now this is cute. This is a cute little fan, right? So cute. I use it for when I'm teaching when I get hot, like this. It's not so cute when they do tea because they put them out in these huge flat baskets, these flat wicker baskets, even bigger than that one, and they let the sun bake it to dry it. Okay? Stay with me. Next process is called bruising. Thou shalt not hit thy neighbor. But it's called bruising. It's literally called bruising the tea leaves. Bruising. The purpose of bruising is to break down the cell walls so the next step can happen. How can I give him gloves and tell him not to hit anything? You can hit the floor if you want. No, okay, you're good. The next step is called oxidation. For those of you who don't know what this is called a sifter. Sifter. You knew that? Good. And it works like that. You usually use it for flour, but in the sifting, the oxidation process of tea, it's sifted, it's twisted, and what's the other word? Squeezed. Doesn't this sound fun if you're a tea leaf? Yeah. You're bruised, you're dried in the hot sun, you're bruised up, breaking down the cell walls, then you're oxidized, which is interesting. It means to give away electrons. It's the opposite of reduction. Oh, think about the spiritual significance of that. Okay. Then it's heated, not in a beautiful little candle, but in an oven. It's heated. So as if sun wasn't enough to heat it up. Now it's gone through all of these stages, and now it's heated. Just the leaves. Then finally, it's packaged and sent out. But it's not even done there yet, because then you got to steep it if you're going to drink it, right? And then you get to drink it. Yes. Thank you. Perfect. These kids rock, don't they? Yeah. Okay. Put your prize down. I mean, put your prop down and pick up a prize. So there's caramel M&Ms or plain M&Ms, four of each, so have at it. Kai, can you hold that for me? Thank you. Perfect. I forgot to take the receipt out. Okay. Why did I use that that illustration? Why did I do that? Because if we're going to represent the kingdom of God, there are some stages we have to go through. And listen, I've been a Christian since I was 3 years old, and I'm 56 now. It's such a bummer. I just turned 56 in June. I'm kind of bummed about it. That's all right. It's just a number. But so for 53 years, I've been a believer. And it's not like from the age of 3 to 7, I got picked. And then from the age of 8 to 10, I got dried. No, 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 no. It's like I have gone through every one of these steps over and over and over again in my walk. But you're not going to get served up to represent the kingdom of God until you get bruised. Everyone gets bruised. Everyone gets bruised. Why? Because God's mean? No, he's the BFG. He's not mean. He allows it as a gift for us to get bruised because he knows that when our cell walls get broken down, it's possible for us to be served up to the world. We all go through sifting, we all go through squeezing, and we all go through twisting. Don't jump out of the process. I just don't believe in God anymore. I can't take this. He's too mean. He's allowing this to happen, even if he's not causing it to happen. He's allowing it to happen. And he says, hold on, honey. Hold on. Hold on. It's going to be worth it. We have worship on Wednesday night in preparation for Soul and Home Days. And Megan said she just kept seeing this big sign that said, you are worth our time. Is that what it said? Yeah, you're worth my time. Wow. You're worth my time. When you're getting bruised, I want you to think in your heart and your head, they're worth my bruising. They're worth my bruising. Because for every one of us who gets bruised, there's 100,000 out there who are also getting bruised, but they don't know there's a good redemption in the end of the bruising. So when you have been through bruising, you can communicate with someone who's also getting bruised. When you're in the fire, there's a reason. It's not without point. I've been reading Isaiah a lot lately. And some of Isaiah is hard because it's like this prophetic declaration against this city and this prophetic declaration against this city is tough, you know, it's tough. But what I'm noticing is there's never a prophetic declaration that seems bad that doesn't end with some kind of redemption. It's the fire that leads to the representing of the kingdom. Of course, it's packing and distributing. We can't stay in our four little holy walls if we're going to represent, not fully. And then, of course, we still have to get steeped in hot water. That can't be fun, right? So that brings us to the last point. Why? Why go through all that? Why am I willing to get bruised? Why am I willing to lay still and take the bruising? Pound, pound. That's what it feels like sometimes. Feels like boxing gloves hitting you in every direction. I'm just keeping it real. Listen, the Christian life is not for wimps. Neither is getting old. Just saying. It's not for wimps. You have to be willing to surrender. Why? Why should I do that? Why? Point number A, because earth needs heaven. Amen. It's worth it because earth needs heaven. In Romans 8, 18 through 24. Oh, I love this passage so much. Paul writes and he says, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of the glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Where is it unveiled? Not on some mountain. Within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. I'm going to pause there and tell you this. I heard a message recently, and the guy was talking about how to pray for someone who's in your life who's not a believer, and he gave two things. He said, this is how I pray for someone who's not a believer. Here it is. It's really simple. Number one, I bind them to the cross of Calvary with all the promises and provisions that are made possible there. So I, in my prayers, I tie them to the cross of Calvary. But the second prayer, God, make the world empty to them. Make them see the futility of digging their own wells and trying to satisfy their own thirst. Make the world empty to them. That's a powerful two-point prayer. I know I'm not a big formula person, but that's powerful when you think about it. And this is what Romans is talking about. They've endured the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, everybody say, but now. Woo! With eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. You see, a freedom now and a freedom coming. Woo! That's so exciting to me. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including, woo, our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of salvation. Why do we go through all of these processes? Why are we willing to surrender to God's stages of processing? Because earth needs heaven. And we have it inside of us. And it can't stay inside of us. It's aching to get out. But there's another why. This is going to surprise some of you, maybe, because the kingdom of heaven is in our DNA. It's actually in your DNA. It's there. We know this because in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 in the New Living Translation, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. If that's not enough, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Listen, this is important. You will never function at your highest potential and your highest level of fulfillment and joy until you're representing the kingdom of heaven. Because something happens when you begin representing the kingdom of heaven. Something inside of you goes, yes, this is why I was created. Yes, this is why I was born. Something happens inside of you. I can't even describe it. You see, I think even people who aren't believers in God have tapped into this because there's so many good philanthropists in the world. They're doing so many good things, not because they are representing God, because when they did something that was good, they recognized the life that burst forth inside of them. How much more powerful is it if we, as believers who know and have a relationship with God, can represent his kingdom, how much more fulfilling and it's hard to even put into words, how much more do we come alive than when we're representing his kingdom? Because it's in our DNA. You're wired for it. You're literally, well, I'm just wired this way. So I'm wired a certain way too. We all are. But every one of us is wired to represent his kingdom. So when we go to Soul and Home Days today, look for the kingdom of God in that person you're talking to. Just look for the kingdom of God. Now, when I do it, it's going to look different than when Natalie does it, because she's really good with people. She can talk to anybody. I love that about you so much. A little jealous of it, but thou shalt not covet. I'm not that way. But I do what I do. You do what you do. You do what you do. We all shine the way God made us to shine. And we represent then. We represent well. Really feel like there are people here in the room right now, and you, when I was talking about the illustration, you really identified with this one. You feel like you're getting beat up by the world, by whatever, the devil, the world, the flesh, your own decisions, whatever it is, you just feel like you've gotten beat up. And I feel like it's caused you to question whether God is real or whether he cares. And I just want to encourage you, he is real and he cares. And he is with you. You are not alone. He is with you. And then I feel like there's somebody, at least one somebody, that identify with the drying. You're like, I'm a believer. I know God is real. Oh, this feels good. I know God is real, but I feel like I can't hear him right now. Like I'm just in a dry season. And I'm having a hard time hearing him. And I read the word, but it feels like obedience more than joy. And I just feel so dry. It's not the end. If it's not good, it's not the end. So what do? You wait. Sometimes you just have to wait and rest. I should have included a resting between the drying and the bruising, huh? Really, probably after every stage, there probably needs to be some rest involved. Not just physical rest, but you know what I mean when I say rest, right? Not fighting against it. Not trying to hurry to the next stage. Okay, I'm dried out now, God. I'm dried. I've decided I'm dry, so let's go to the bruising. No, let's get out of the bruising fast, okay? Right? No, we don't decide. Because I never would have been dried. If I had decided, I'd have been like, okay, I'm done now. I'd still be green. Wouldn't be dry. I certainly wouldn't have lasted through the bruising if it were up to me. But there is so much peace in surrendering to his process. And at the end, there's so much joy in being able to represent his kingdom to someone, to one person. So let's close our eyes together today. Mine are closed too, just so you know. God, I thank you for the way you lead us through each process. I thank you that you do not abandon us to the process. Even if we feel like we can't hear you or see you, you are still very much present. And God, I thank you for the open hearts that I feel in this room right now, for people who have been maybe in a dry season or a bruising season, or even one I didn't mention, and they are making a new commitment right now to surrender to your timeline without rushing it. And so I pray a blessing on every single person that's really tugged at their heartstrings today. And I ask you to just engulf their hearts in your peace right now, that they would feel it physically surround their hearts and then spread out from there, and that they would carry the Holy Spirit of comfort with them even as they walk out the door today. that they would know this was a day, the last Sunday of the month, this was a day that marked something different in their spiritual journey with you, that they won't fight against the process any longer. They'll embrace the process. Because God, I know you've proven to me over and over again, you love process. You celebrate process with us. And so I thank you for every single one of us who are willing to be with you and let you be with us during our process and not turn away from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. I just feel your open hearts. I can just totally feel your open hearts today, and I'm so thankful for that. So thank you for coming today. If you forgot, it was Next Gen offering. You can still put it in and just drop it in the box. Next Gen, where you invest 1 hour's of worth of your time into the next generation. So if you want to participate in that, just drop it in the box back there. There's extra envelopes too if you need it. Just mark it Next Gen so we know. And then if you want to join us for Home Days but you didn't sign up, you can't come. Forget it. No, I'm just kidding. Please come. It'll be fun. We had so much fun yesterday. We had a good group come out. We had a blast, and I know it's going to be fun today. We're kind of off the beaten path. Really, if you can find a parking spot in the Solon Middle School parking lot, that's a fantastic place to park, because our booth is like right across the grass from that. So, huh? By the scoreboard, by one of the scoreboards. There's two. But by, I think it's the baseball scoreboard maybe. So you'll find us. We have our flags. That's why we don't have our flags today, because they're at the Solon Home Days. So you'll see our flags. And hope to see you there. 1:30 to 6 are the hours today, right? 1 to 6. Well, 1's the parade, right? So 1:30 to 6-ish, around there. Have a great week. Love you guys.